Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we have an SEC Super Tuesday doubleheader for you. Starts with Vanderbilt hosting Kentucky, 7 Eastern, then Auburn taking on Alabama. Both games right here on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. And with that, we begin a new hour here. Delighted you choose to join us and get up with us here live from the Seaport. Brought to you by Chase. That's Dan. That's RC. That's Rex Ryan. What an unbelievable, sensational Sunday to finish up the football season yesterday. Going to the last drop. And we've got you covered from every possible angle. Super Sunday to the last second. If you didn't see how the season ended, you aren't going to believe it. We'll begin there. Meanwhile, Big Ben on a wing and a prayer. How the Steelers stayed the course and stayed alive. And then the D in Big D stands for doom. We'll tell you why yesterday was a big loss for the Cowboys, even though they didn't even play. All that and more as we get up with you starting this hour right now at the very finish of the football season. Justin Herbert and the Chargers taking on the Raiders. A tie, they both get in and the Steelers are out. Otherwise, winner is in. Third quarter, 9 minutes remaining. Fourth and one at their own 18, Dan, they go for it.
Been aggressive all year. They've done this plenty of times. They run the ball right at the Raiders defense. Credit this Raiders defense for making that stop.
Rex?
Been dumb all year.
Fourth quarter. Fourth downs were the key here. Now they're down 15. They have to go for it. Fourth and six.
Yeah, good job getting the ball out on time. And then Mike Williams getting just enough to get the yard needed.
A few plays later, fourth and 21.
This is ridiculous. Fourth and 21, down 15. Stare left, and in route to Palmer. And then that ball goes about 30 yards on an absolute straight.
My quarterback has a howitzer.
Load the bazooka. Boom!
The two-point conversion gets it a seven-point game. Now, that was a fourth and 10, so they continue to move it. Now 10 seconds to go in their season, down by seven.
Left hash from the 39-yard line all the way to the 12-yard line across the field. Beautiful out route to Guyton.
5 seconds in the season.
Watch this ball come out.
Herbert.
Shift to the left. Ball comes out before the receiver's ready for it. Low and away below the belt buckle where only your guy can catch it.
He threw 64 passes yesterday. We go to overtime. Raiders get it first. Remember, if this game ends in a tie, both teams make it. That's Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, this was a big part of last night's game. Josh Jacobs, at least his vision and the physical run game from the Raiders kept coming.
Raiders kicked the field goal, so they're up by three. So the Chargers need it again. That's another fourth down play.
I just like watching the ball spin out of his hands because the defense didn't even see the ball. Yeah. It was thrown so hard. Just an absolute missile from Herbert.
Later in the drive, again, they need a field goal to stay in the game.
Perfect pass. Catch it!
Perfect.
That's a beautiful throw. That close.
Chargers wind up kicking a field goal, so we're tied at 32. Again, a tie, and they both make it.
Throw of the season. Incredible. Climb the pocket, man coverage, third and eight. You got to throw that comeback all the way across the field.
Incredible, a word?
Incredible.
It was incredible.
It was both incredible and unbelievable. Third and four. Raiders lining up for play. Chargers call timeout. The Raiders might have been willing to settle for the tie. Instead, the Chargers call the timeout, and the Raiders get the first down.
Yeah, again, vision and physical run by Josh Jacobs. Brandon Staley calls that timeout.
Great job, Brandon Staley.
His team the chance to get that tie.
Because it sets up this 47 yards. Daniel Carlson kicks the Raiders in and the Steelers in and the Chargers out. What a way to finish the season last night.
Was there any consideration to just running down the clock there and not even attempting a field goal?
It was conversation we were talking about. You know, I don't know if you know, we ran the ball there and they didn't call a timeout. So I think they were probably thinking the same thing. Then we had the big run. We were going to take the field goal and try to win it.
I don't think it changed their mindset because they were going to run the ball on the play before, and then they ran the ball the very next play. So we wanted to make sure that we got our run defense in there. And we obviously didn't execute well enough, but we wanted to get our premium one-back run defense in here.
So that's an explanation for that timeout. There were so many decisions the coach makes in the game yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I hadn't heard Bisaccia's sound until then.
Yeah.
They were definitely going to take the tie then.
Yeah. No question.
I didn't hear that. Yeah, so he was admitting that they were going to take the tie, and then he called the timeout, and that's when they ran the football.
The way they were playing it, it was clear to everybody in the stadium except for Staley that they were going to take the tie. They were going to take the tie. And so it was almost like, okay, you guys go with it. Let that clock gun. Yeah, we'll take the tie. No problem. Good luck, man, in the playoffs and all that.
Right,
oh, you call timeout? Oh, the hell with that. They're not taking a tie? Then they pound them. And the Staley's thing about we're going to get our best call, you know, and run defense, and all that.
You were a defensive coach in this league for a long time.
Yeah.
What's the difference between, like, a one-back run defense and a two-back run defense?
Yeah.
I don't know the difference in the personnel.
I don't know, but the Raiders came out with the same personnel both plays. Yeah,
yeah,
no question. And here's the great thing. If that's going to be you're going to stop the run, well, wouldn't you bring the edges and all that type of stuff? You know, it did nothing. And so to me, I don't know about that, but he calls a timeout for some reason. How about all the fourth downs, Rex? No, well, here's the thing. All of those that Herbert hit, yeah, I agree with every one. The one I don't agree with, when you're down on the 17-yard line, you have fourth and one. I'm sorry, but here's the problem with this guy, all right, with Staley. Staley thinks he's the smartest guy out there, smartest coach ever, right? And you can't convince him. That's this guy's problem. He's, you know what? He's smarter than Parcells, Gibbs, Belichick, Mike Tomlin, you know, Lombardi. He's smarter than all of them.
I think
because everybody from the history of this game would have punted. You're the only guy that would go for it. And to me, Dano, I know you and I disagree. This cat is reckless.
Well, I think
he's reckless.
The big thing is, though, I think Brandon Staley, to me, looks at every fourth and one the exact same way.
Amen.
Right? Whether it's at the 50-yard line, his own 20, or the opposition's 30. And every fourth and one is not created the same.
Yeah, good point.
When you go for it on that end of your field and you give up a field goal, that's a decision that puts your team at a deficit. And I understand being aggressive. Like, I get that. I also understand the fact that you feel like you have a guy like Justin Herbert, who we saw later on in the game, can convert these fourth downs. But you have to coach your team to get them with an opportunity to win. And I felt like yesterday Brandon Staley hurt his team.
So I want to make sure that I'm clear on you. You agree with going for it on the fourth and one from his own 18?
No, I felt that was an overly aggressive one. You don't get it, they get points. Here's my stance on it. If he had said fourth and one, we're going to go for it when they get stopped there, but utilized quarterback run or the threat of quarterback run, I feel a little bit better about it because he's 6'5", 250 pounds. I think that one is overly aggressive. I think your point of he thinks that all fourth downs are the same and our quarterback is just so good he's going to bail us out. After I disagreed with you in the first hour. I think you make a fair point in the second hour that it's more reckless than aggressive, specifically in a game that you lose those points. My big takeaway is after hearing Bisaccia's sound. I had not heard that sound till now. I think that it's fair to say, after hearing that sound in the fourth and one, like, he's the reason they lost the football game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like Brandon Staley. I do.
Here's the thing. I never needed to hear the sound.
Because you knew what it was.
You thought they were going to take a knee.
100%.
But they weren't going to take a knee in the shotgun. So you thought they were just going to hit it off?
100%. And they weren't going to take it. They were going to run the football.
Right.
And here's what they weren't going to do. They weren't going to attempt a long field goal. They would have punted the football knowing that it's over with.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
That was it. And to me,
hearing the coach kind of clarifies it for me.
Yeah, and I never needed to. Being around this business all my life and being a coach, I knew what the hidden agreement was. You could tell the hidden agreement was that. And like Staley was playing along.
And now we both get in.
And then all of a sudden he calls timeout. Yeah. I'm like, what in the heck are you doing? And I've said it many times about this guy. Okay, here's a guy that jumps into it. He hasn't had the background. Look, we're all rookie head coaches.
Sure.
Okay, could he learn from this? He needs to.
He will.
He needs to learn from it. And whether it's somebody saying, you're out of your mind, put your hands in your pocket, you're not calling timeout. He needs the truth, the brutal truth. And let's not celebrate a guy going for it all the time backed up.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin went for a fourth down in a critical situation. What happened? He hit it. Would Mike Tomlin have done that?
Not in a billion years.
I think the way you phrase it is reckless over aggressive, I think, is probably
absolutely
the right way.
That's very true in this situation.
You have to look at the downside of not making it. These things all factor into those analytics.
Yeah.
Not all fourth and ones are created equal.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I told you that game not ending in a tie got the Steelers in, which is why RC has started to do his dance, seated next to me here. He was dancing for T.J. Watt. How about the record-tying sack?
T.J. Watt has been an absolute animal the entire season. He's a guy that's going to win the Defensive Player of the Year, and he will be in the Ring of Fame for the Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
ties Michael Strahan's single season record with 22.5. This game was tied at 3 in the third quarter. Here comes Latavius Murray.
Something you could do on this defense, power run game. Pull the backside guard, really nice vision and cut by Latavius Murray. Obviously a long touchdown run for this Ravens offense.
So the Ravens up 10-3. Fourth quarter, it's 10-6. Ben Roethlisberger needs a touchdown to keep his career alive.
Never underestimate your ability to not throw the football. Just a nice recoil by Big Ben there. Claypool sits in the zone. Touchdown.
13-10 Pittsburgh. Tyler Huntley going the other way, using his legs.
Nice two-minute drill starter, right? You climb the pocket. It's not there. You get outside on that left edge. Big chunk run.
Ravens now 4th and 2. 1:17 to play. Justin
Tucker. Just draw a line.
Try and tie. He's so clutch. You don't even have to watch. You knew it was going to be good. From 46 yards away. Ravens tie it at 13.
Actually, too easy.
So this one went to overtime as well. The Steelers needed basically 140 minutes to get into the playoffs yesterday between what happened late at night. Ravens get the kickoff in the overtime. They wind up punting. Here comes Pat Freiermuth the other way, and Ben's in business.
Such a good throw by Big Ben. And then you get Deontay Johnson in that man coverage. That's a whip route. You sell the slant hard down inside. Yeah. You pop back out. He's stuttering enough. Ball comes out completion.
Here's that fourth down play. A tie does the Steelers no good, so they go for it.
Yeah, Greeny, we're going to break this one down. There's so many details to that play. Mm-hmm. Credit Pittsburgh for making that play.
That's Ray McCloud over the middle. He gets up this. Chris Boswell from 36 yards away. It's up
huge,
and it's
bro.
Good. For Ben Roethlisberger, it's not over yet. The Steelers stay alive, and so you see the AFC playoff picture as we speak. The Raiders got in, and they go all the way to the 5 seed. The Steelers will play Sunday night against Kansas City, and then the AFC East matchup between the Bills and the Patriots in Buffalo. And so Ryan Clark, my favorite former Steeler, what do we say about what happened yesterday?
You know what? What you say is the Pittsburgh Steelers continue to fight. And we talk about teams like the Detroit Lions. You talk about the New York Giants and different teams who aren't necessarily putting all of their effort into winning. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have done that. Think about yesterday, though. Big Ben Roethlisberger makes a throw to Ray McCloud. That should be a first down. Then he makes a throw to Deontay Johnson. That gives them opportunity to make a first down. And they drop both of those footballs.
Yeah.
And then he comes up with the huge throw to Ray McCloud for the first down.
Right.
When you look at this team has continued to fight throughout the entire season. This team has won games. And Rex made a good point in the first hour. Some of those games, they weren't the better team.
No.
Some of those games, they should not have won. Or they weren't favored. And they found ways to make plays in critical football moments to win the game. And that's what the NFL is. Mike Tomlin finds a way to do that with the best of the coaches in the
NFL. That's what it's about, Tomlin, at the end of the day, isn't it?
100%. All right, this team is nowhere without Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
And when you talk about a difference maker right there, Mike Tomlin, to me, always proves it every year that he's a difference maker.
Yep.
And look, as a football coach, your job is to bring out the very best in your players, whether it's through motivation, through scheme, whatever it is. Check every single box every single week for Mike Tomlin. That's who he is, and that's what a real coach looks like.
I think we got to give credit to Big Ben, though, as well.
That's why I did that.
A Hall of Fame clutch plays. You know, there was moments when this season you're looking at Big Ben playing, you're like, my goodness, this is tough. But he was clutch. 3rd and 9, you're going to get those linebackers up in the line of scrimmage. They're going to drop out, and there's going to be that deep mesh. This is really good versus man. It's not good versus zone, but Big Ben does an awesome job. Ball goes over those linebackers, but before that corner's there. That's clutch on 3rd and 9. Down in the red zone, 3rd and 6, you got a seam and a slant. Watch recoil by Big Ben here. He wants to throw that seam route to the tight end. It's not there. Watch him reset, ball to Freiermuth. He gives him a chance to go get that conversion. That gives them the opportunity to take the lead the next play. This play, I'm just telling you, for a quarterback, it's scary. 3rd and 7, 2-man, out route. The coverage is trailing and underneath.
Amazing.
Ball's coming out right now. This is good coverage. If you miss, pick 6, other way, and the game's over. But the clutch throw by Big Ben again. So I think it's Mike Tomlin's best job coaching ever, yes. I think it's the example of why the Steelers organizationally are, to your credit, who they are. It's not a good team.
No.
But they're still good enough to get into the playoffs. And their quarterback
I think the thing that's most impressive to me is, at the beginning of the season, we said they needed to have a formula.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
This is the exact formula
defense,
and style,
clutch QB
and they won football games.
The other thing, if I had told you at the beginning of the season, two teams from the AFC North would make the playoffs, And then I told you which
two. It wouldn't have been those two.
Right? I mean, you could have won $1 trillion on that bet that the it's Ravens true. And the Browns would be the two that wound up yeah. not making it. As we continue, the 49ers are rolling into the playoffs with a physical run game and a vicious defense. We'll tell you why the team's in their way, a.k.a. the Dallas Cowboys, should be very worried. Plus, it's the rematch of the year. Bama, Georgia, with everything on the line. We're taking a look ahead as we get up with you on ESPN.
Who got the power? We got the power. Yeah, turn me up louder. Yeah.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and we have breaking news. And for that, we bring in our NFL insider extraordinaire, Adam Schefter, as there is a lot of news from the NFL today, as expected. Schefty, what do we have?
Greeny, a busy morning in the NFC North. Moments ago, the Chicago Bears parted ways with Matt Nagy, let him go, fired this morning. No surprise there. The Minnesota Vikings have fired their head coach, Mike Zimmer, and their general manager, Rick Spielman. So Matt Nagy's out in Chicago. Mike Zimmer, Rick Spielman out in Minnesota. The NFC North making a host of changes this morning, none of which come as any terrible surprise here when we look at it. Matt Nagy met with Bears ownership this morning at 7 a.m. Central. Then they called a team meeting that may still be underway as of right now. That was scheduled to begin at 8 a.m. Eastern, where Matt Nagy was meeting with his team. And I would imagine, I don't know that officially, Greeny, that he informed them at the meeting of what had happened today, that he had been let go. And I'm sure he thanked them for all their time and services. Now the Bears face a big decision going forward as to who will be the head coach. And I think a lot of people wondering about the general manager, Ryan Pace. No official word yet. My understanding is, I think the sense was that he was going to be retained, but that is not official. Again, Matt Nagy's out. Ryan Pace, we don't have official confirmation of, but my understanding was the expectation was that he would be kept in place. If we go over to Minnesota, sweeping changes there with the Vikings. Mike Zimmer knew his time was coming to an end. People around the league knew that his time was coming to an end there in Minnesota as well. And so he is out as the Vikings head coach. The general manager, Rick Spielman, is out as the Vikings head coach. Zimmer had 8 years to try to get it done in Minnesota. It didn't happen. And now both NFC North teams this morning are making dramatic changes, Greeny.
All right, that's Schefty with the very latest here again. Not unexpected, and we'll see if there's anything further today. Schefty, stay close by. Thank you. Again, the big news, Chicago and Minnesota with coaching changes. You see Mike Zimmer on the screen there and Matt Nagy as well. Dan, just quick reaction here, obviously, in Chicago. This comes as no surprise.
Yeah, it's something that was warranted because Matt Nagy, I felt, failed to realize that the most important thing this season was to show the development of Justin Fields. Yep. And they kept him on the bench and kept him on the bench, and then they had the opportunity play a little bit, and there was so many bright spots, and that never happened. And we said this going into the season, this was your second shot to try and prove that you were capable of developing a young quarterback, and you didn't. I wish him well. I hope he lands on his feet, but this is the second most important decision in the history of this organization. I think the first one was the selection of Justin Fields, and now it's going to be who you decide to be the head coach to steward his development.
No, I absolutely agree with that. We all kind of understood what Matt Nagy was faced with at the beginning of the season, and it seemed like Matt Nagy was the only guy that didn't understand it. Right. And now you watch the way that this team goes, the way that the quarterback position was handled, and you knew they had to move on. It's going to be extremely important who you get to steward Justin Fields. He's a guy with an immense amount of talent. He definitely needs work, but he needs someone that can mentor him into being the player he can become.
Yeah, I think go out and get a real leader. And when you look at decisions that this organization has made, the hiring of Mike Ditka comes to mind that we wanted to bring back a bear. Would it be, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. Could we see Harbaugh return as a coaching candidate for the Chicago Bears?
So number one, that would be the number one phone call I would make.
Absolutely.
Would be Harbaugh. Absolutely. I would call Nathaniel Hackett from the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
I would call Sean Payton from the New Orleans Saints.
Are you forgetting about somebody?
I would call Doug Peterson.
Are you forgetting about somebody?
Who was that somebody?
That would be me, but I'm not saying – I'm not interested. I'm not interested in going to be a head coach.
You're interested.
I'm not interested in it. I don't believe the rumors about being a head coach. I'm not saying it. I'm not commenting on it. You sit back and walk out there, you know. I mean, but here's the thing. But Harbaugh, I think, is a logical choice.
Yep.
They did it with Mike Ditka, and it worked. And the same kind of intensity and passion that they got from Ditka, they can get from Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh played quarterback under Mike Ditka in Chicago in the early 90s there. Mike Ditka was brought back as a Hall of Fame tight end by George Halas, the patriarch of that franchise once upon a time, and led them to what remains the only Super Bowl they ever won. As far as Nagy is concerned, the bottom line is this. He was brought there to mentor a young quarterback.
Mitchell Trubisky.
That guy's name was Mitch Trubisky. That's two quarterbacks already that it didn't wind up working out with. So while I don't sit here and call for anybody's firing, I wouldn't want anyone to do it to me. This one certainly makes sense. And I will say this, if they keep the general manager in place, that will be very unpopular amongst the fan base.
Yeah.
Because that's the same general manager who drafted Trubisky ahead of Deshaun Watson and Mahomes and everything else that has gone wrong.
But the challenge, so I said week one, you guys know where I stood on Matt Nagy. I thought that was the perfect example of why they needed to move on from him. The challenge for Chicago, when you choose to hire a new general manager, the cupboard is bare somewhat with that roster and picks.
Yeah,
so you got to be fair to the new general manager and the new head coach to give them time
to
recuperate.
With them.
Yeah,
their first round pick is with the Giants now. They traded up to get Justin Fields last year, but at least they have that building block in place. We'll see again the news. Matt Nagy out in Chicago, Mike Zimmer and general manager Rick Spielman out in Minnesota. Those from Shefty in just the last few moments. We'll break briefly. So much still to come here, including the D in Big D, which stands for doom. We will tell you why yesterday was a big loss for the Cowboys, even though they didn't even play. But before that, it's our favorite game. It's Sneaky Hembo for Rex. Here we go, Rex. Which NFL stadium has hosted the most playoff games?
You got this.
Both active and inactive stadiums are eligible. The answer is next.
Tough question.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile. And if you were just joining us, breaking news this morning, Adam Schefter reporting live here on Get Up just moments ago that Matt Nagy, no surprise, has been fired as head coach of the Chicago Bears, met with ownership in Chicago today and was told he's been relieved of his duties. As of now, general manager Ryan Pace has not been fired. Meanwhile, in Minnesota, they have made sweeping changes. Mike Zimmer is out as head coach, as is general manager Rick Spielman. That is our reporting this morning. So on this day after the end of the NFL season, two more coaching vacancies, both of them coming in the NFC North. That said, sneaky Hembo time for you, Rex Ryan, and here's the game. Which NFL stadium, and it can be a current stadium or one that doesn't exist anymore, one stadium has hosted the most NFL playoff games?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, you wonder why I got all the gray. I mean, these questions are killers. But I'm sitting back like, you know, you young guys are going to think, they always play the Super Bowl in New Orleans, so it's got to be that. Right? Nah, so I'm going to go back to logic tells me the old stadiums. Hey, Soldier Field is so old, it's unbelievable. It's got to be them. No, I'm going to say the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
That's a very good guess. It's second. Lambeau is second. Believe it or not, the answer is Candlestick Park in San Francisco.
I don't believe it.
All those Montana teams, all those playoff games at home for the 49ers. Gillette is actually tied with Lambeau next because Tom Brady, they were in the playoffs every every single year. But
I don't like these questions.
It was the old 49ers stadium that was the actor and by the answer. And by the way, the 49ers won't be playing a home game. They don't play at Candlestick Park anymore anyway. But they did make the playoffs yesterday, coming off the comeback of the night. What a game this was. Down 17-0 was San Francisco against the Rams. But now they're working their way back in. And Dan, Deebo Samuel is the reason why.
Greedy, the versatility and the burst that Deebo Samuel brings this offense is so unique to the NFL.
It's in for the score there, his eighth rushing touchdown. Now, we got a little trickeration and it winds up with Juwan Jennings.
Run the football, give it to Deebo Samuel. Everybody on the defense is committed to stopping him. The reverse or the handoff pass, easy touchdown.
That ties it at 17. Fourth quarter, 2.5 to play. Rams, how about this pass?
Yeah, just a beautiful throw, third and goal. It's really the number three in the progression. Watch the body control by Cooper. Left foot down, right foot down. This is why he's going to be the offensive player of the year.
What a year he had. Rams up 24-17. Here you go, Jimmy G. Season on the line, and he comes up huge.
Yeah, clutch. He sees Jalen Ramsey kind of jump up on that flat route. He drives that corner out into that little hole, and then the ability yards after catch by Deebo.
It's 43-yard play there. Then three plays later, 30 seconds left, wide open.
Hang in the pocket, see the middle of the field, go right to the left, touchdown Jennings.
We're tied at 24. So we go to overtime. Opening Niners drive, third and six. It's a big play because, again, they need to win to get into the playoffs.
This is a really nice job by Jimmy Garoppolo on third down. You get man coverage, set him, breakaway ball out on time in a nice spot where you can catch the ball and get yards after it. Bad tackling by this Rams defense.
But they fall in the red zone, so they're forced to try a 24-yard field goal from Robbie Gould. That's up and good. So 49ers up 27-24. Rams have a chance to try and win it. Matt Stafford is going to look deep for Odell. It looks like there was miscommunication on the last play of the game.
Whoever cut this highlight, delete my number.
That is an interception that ends it. Matt Stafford would throw two picks on the
That's
day. The Niners
too.
Win in overtime. So the 49ers are on their way to the playoffs. Rams get in as well. Three NFC West teams make it into the playoffs. Rams win the division. They host Arizona next Monday night. That game's on ESPN and ABC. And the Niners will head to Dallas to face the Cowboys on Sunday. We'll talk more about this in a minute, but I'm told I have more breaking news. And so I go back to Adam Schefter. Schefty, what do we have?
Well, Green, we got a lot of breaking news. There's a lot of things going on across the league. We knew it would be a busy morning, but it's a bit busier than people expected. The big surprise of the morning is in Miami, where the Miami Dolphins have fired their head coach, Brian Flores.
Wow.
Parted ways with him. Let go of him. A little bit of a surprise coming off a big win over the New England Patriots. It's interesting because if we go back to the beginning of the season, there was some scuttlebutt that maybe Brian Flores could be on the hot seat. That talk quieted down. But the Dolphins made the decision this morning to move on from Brian Flores. So they are in the market for a new head coach. And we have more news coming in as we speak. The Chicago Bears have just fired their general manager, Ryan Pace, to go along with Matt Nagy. So Matt Nagy's out as the head coach. Ryan Pace is out. In the NFC North, the Bears have swept out their head coach and GM. And you could see it's already a very busy morning in the National Football League, Greeny.
Yeah, absolutely. Schefty with us earlier telling us that Rick Spielman, the general manager, and Mike Zimmer, the coach in Minnesota, have also been fired. The Brian Flores, it comes as an enormous surprise, yeah. Schefty. The reaction here on my set when you said it was remarkable. Is there any more you can tell us or any direction that we should be looking there in Miami?
Well, listen, they have made some changes there over time. They have not been happy. There's been talk about the quarterback. They've had all these picks. Again, it's a situation where Brian Flores had a very strong coaching style. Some people embraced it, and obviously some people did not. And they did not feel comfortable with the direction of that franchise. It's a situation where they decided to move on from him, Brian Flores. And again, here's somebody that handled himself very well. They've been in the market for a quarterback in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. That didn't happen for them. And so they rode with Tua. It just seemed like things were always a little bit sideways in Miami for whatever reason. And I think, again, not everybody embraced the coaching style of Brian Flores. Popular with some, not as popular with others. They made the decision this morning that they have to move on from him, which I think, again, in every head coaching cycle, there is one big surprise, sometimes multiple surprises. We've gotten one surprise already. There could be more. As we speak, Brian Flores would qualify as the big surprise. And we see another coach from the Bill Belichick tree go out elsewhere, struggle to make it on his own, and the Miami Dolphins make the decision to move on from him. Again, I think it is a surprise. I think considering his record, considering the way he handled himself, what he was about, I think it is a surprise that Brian Flores officially was fired as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Everybody here stunned. All right, Cheffy, really well done, as always. Thank you. Stay close. Let me bring it to the table here, and I'm going to get RG3 in a minute as well, because I heard he had a strong reaction to it. And there he is, Robert Griffin III. We will preview the college football championship game with him in a minute. But let's react to this. Brian Flores out in Miami.
It's actually confusing. You know, like a lot of times when you hear these coaches being fired, you're usually anticipating it. I didn't anticipate Brian Flores being fired, a guy who made a remarkable turnaround in this season. We saw progression in Tua Tagovailoa as a quarterback, and he continued to coach defense well, that turned the football over and pressured the quarterback. I'm not necessarily sure what the Miami Dolphins think they'll be moving towards without Brian Flores, but I believe this is a mistake to get rid of this head coach.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I'm stunned by it. I mean, they won, what, eight out of last eight
yes,
or nine games
seven,
or something like that?
They won on a seven-game winning streak.
And to me, this is crazy. Like, here's the only thing. Are they punishing Brian Flores for not drafting Justin Herbert? Was
right.
that his decision?
Right.
Like, they took Tua? I have no – there's no other reason. I can't really come up with it. We don't know the inside of it, but I'm surprised by this.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake.
Yes, I agree.
Here's my struggle with it, because the NFL is a results-driven league. We all know this. Oftentimes, coaches who are good men get fired, and we go, you just didn't get it done.
Yeah.
He's got back-to-back winning seasons.
Yeah.
He's beaten New England twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
10-6 and 9-8 the last 2 years. And for me, it feels eerily similar to what happened to Jim Caldwell in Detroit.
Yeah.
We're like, it was good, but the expectations were to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And you fire a coach that is a really good coach, and you're going to regret it in the long run. I think that's what's going to happen.
That's a great comparison.
It feels that way, you know?
That's a great comparison.
I will just throw this out there. This is pure speculation. I'm not reporting anything. I want to make that clear. That there have been flirtations in the past between the owner of that team, Stephen Ross, and Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
Stephen Ross is a Michigan guy. He's from Detroit. He went to Michigan. There was a time when he wanted to hire Jim Harbaugh there, and it didn't go that way. We have speculated about the possibility of Harbaugh jumping back into the NFL. That feels like something that could be out there. Again, I want to make it clear that is pure speculation on my part and nothing more. Meanwhile, Robert Griffin III jumps in with us here. Thank you for getting up, my friend. RG3, what is your reaction to this? Again, the news, Miami firing Brian Flores.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm shocked. I'm appalled at this result. I agree with Dan. It reminds me of Jim Caldwell. And the question you have to ask is, what are you looking up from here? Right. When Jim Caldwell was fired, everybody's saying, you know, they've got these, you know, winning seasons, 9-7, 9-7. What are they looking forward to going from this point forward with Brian Flores as replacement? This is a guy that they went on that 7-game winning streak this year. And a lot of people had him in their coach of the year candidate. So what are they expecting? Brian Flores is one of the guys that we all thought had taken that Patriot way and adapted it so that he could be his own environment there in Miami. So when you hear the news that he got fired, you are completely shocked. I don't know. Maybe they'll hire Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky. They got a lot of other guys fired this year. So maybe those guys can go coach in Miami.
They have a hell of a press conference. They do that.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Okay. So let me as deftly as I can transition.
We didn't get anyone fired. They got themselves fired.
To what we want to talk about with RG3 as well, because this is a morning that we are privileged to begin, and it will end tonight with Georgia and Alabama in the college football playoff national championship game. Alabama, Georgia, 8 Eastern on ESPN. Bama looking for their 7th title in 13 years. Georgia hasn't won at all since 1980. Despite the loss in the SEC title game, Georgia's actually a 2.5-point favorite over the Tide tonight. Alabama 5-1 outright as an underdog since 2008. 3 of those wins coming against the Bulldogs. And again, RG3 is with us here. And let's talk about the quarterback for Alabama. These two teams just played each other about a month ago, and Bryce Young had a Heisman-worthy performance on that day, threw for 421 yards. So what did you see from Young in the playoff last week, RG3, and what should we be expecting from him in the championship game tonight?
Yeah, Greeny, I watched every single snap of Bryce Young in the Cotton Bowl 3 times over. And the thing that's most impressive to me is his ability not to allow one bad play to turn into 2, 3, 4 bad plays. He's got a short memory. So let's run the tape. In the third quarter against Cincy, right here, you see everybody's talking about manipulate the pocket. It's like, what pocket are you talking about? Since he got excessive pressure on him the entire game, they forced him here to throw the ball into a defensive team meeting, and the safety Brian Cook came away with the interception. But hold up, wait a minute. Y'all thought he was finished. He came back on the very next drive on 3rd and 16. He identifies who his read is. He manipulates the pocket this time because he has an opportunity to step up, and he converts the 3rd and 16, hitting his guy Jamison Williams right down the middle of the field in between the safeties. Boom, first down. But he wasn't finished. He comes back later in the drive, and he sees that he's got man coverage when Slade Bolden goes across the formation, and he lets the other routes displace the defense as he semi-rolls to the right, and his guy Cameron Latu does a great acting job, Oscar-worthy job of getting open in the end zone. And Bryce Young is just an incredible player. He's a complete quarterback, pre-snap recognition, post-snap execution, and he doesn't allow those bad plays to turn into more bad plays.
I feel like the general consensus on this game is Georgia has the better team, but Bama has the better quarterback, and they have the legendary coach. Who do you like tonight?
Oh, man, I like Bama. I think if you ask me, can they have a repeat performance from the SEC championship? Is water wet? If you stay outside too long, do you get burned? Yes, you do. So for Alabama, they're winning this game, in my opinion. Everyone talks about how it's hard for a top 10 team or top 5 AP teams to beat a team twice in the same season. But we're completely ignoring the fact that we had a top 25 matchup this past year with Utah and Oregon, where Utah came away victorious 2 times in a matter of weeks. I think that's a similar thing that's going to happen. It'll be a little bit closer of a game, but Alabama will come out on top. Jamison Williams, Bryce Young, Cameron Latu, Ja'Cory Brooks will be too much in the end.
Going to be fun to watch. RG3, thank you for getting up. We always appreciate it, and we were watching you all day long as we look forward to tonight. And we've got the mega cast again, a million different ways for you to enjoy this game. The 9th straight year, you got TV, you got radio, you got digital. Enjoy any way you choose tonight's national championship game. Meanwhile, the clock has not struck midnight on Big Ben just yet. Dan Orlovsky will break down the play that saved the season next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile. And today we have a ton of breaking news, as usually comes on this Monday following the end of the regular season. Adam Schefter telling us just moments ago that both Matt Nagy and general manager Ryan Pace have been fired in Chicago. Those not coming as a surprise after a disappointing season there. Mike Zimmer has also been fired today in Minnesota. That's not much of a surprise either. He and general manager Rick Spielman both out. So two moves being made in the NFC North. And then the big surprise, Schefter reporting just moments ago, Brian Flores has been fired in Miami. Schefty also tweeting just moments ago that Flores is now expected to be a prime candidate for other head coaching jobs during this hiring cycle. So we will see where that winds up going. Again, a busy morning filled with all sorts of news here today. Meanwhile, entering this weekend, our analytics gave the Steelers just an 8% chance of making the playoffs, but of course they did. They beat Baltimore in overtime. The Colts lost to Jacksonville. The Raiders beat the Chargers, and so Mike Tomlin and Big Ben are still standing. And Dan Orlovsky, now you've put together some tape on just how the Steelers got this done.
Two plays, one right before the half and one right in overtime. So right before the half, the Ravens get the ball. They're going to take a whole shot to Hollywood Brown right here. He's down at the bottom of the screen, and it's a stop route. It's really going to be two men underneath, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, like the safety is going to be over here. Now watch. Huntley's going to get this snap. He's going to pump fake to take opportunity to hit that hole shot. There it is right there. Like, there's the hole shot. That ball's going to get caught about the 48-yard line. This is going to be game over field goal right before the end of the game. But Minkah Fitzpatrick comes over and makes that play. Greeny, I think it's the play. Talk to me. Come on.
You're talking about a little Steeler free safety play. I get excited. Minkah Fitzpatrick is the ultimate ball guy. Now, if this is me, I'm trying to smash Hollywood Brown, get him out of bounds. Look at this hand, right? Look at Minkah Fitzpatrick go in and punch the football out. Wow. He's the ultimate ball guy, and this has been his most impressive year as a Steeler.
I mean, look, that catch is going to get made if not for that right-hand punch. I think that saves them the game. Now let's go to Big Ben on 4th and 8, okay? What you're going to get is dropout coverage. These two linebackers are up in the line of scrimmage. They're going to pop out. Now pay attention to the receivers up top. That's the key to this game. So what happens is this tight end is going to push vertical. It's a beautiful job by Freiermuth. There goes those linebackers. Now right in that moment, Freiermuth does such a good job of pushing vertical and forcing that linebacker to carry him. And now McLeod is in a perfect position. He's ready right off that angle right there to drop underneath as Freiermuth is getting carried vertical. Big Ben's going to get that ball out. It's right in that soft spot of that zone. Yeah, and there's that 4th and 8 conversion. Outstanding job by Big Ben against that.
Hey, hold up, Daniel.
Come on in.
Let's run it back.
Okay.
Because right here you talk about these linebackers up in here.
Yeah.
If you're going to play zone in this situation, that's why I had a problem with this call right here. Get them back where they can drive on the football.
So you want these linebackers lined up back here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get them back in that situation.
What's the downside to those guys being up in the line?
The downside is they can't break. When you're starting from this thing, you've got to break back, and that doesn't allow you to break on the football here. That's why I was surprised they kept doing it over and over in critical moments.
I think that's a huge point. The fact that those guys being up in the line of scrimmage forces them to kind of, I guess, play timid, play soft, and they're not aggressive.
They can't. Your zone, one of the reasons you want to play zone is so you can drive on the route and drive on the football, and they couldn't do it.
It's a point extremely well made. And so one way or another, RC, the Steelers live to fight another day. There are much better teams that are sitting home watching the playoffs, but Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger found a way.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. I think when you look at this team, they have a Hall of Fame coach, I believe, and a Hall of Fame quarterback that found ways to get this team to make plays, and they continue to fight. There are weeks that we could see that they are outmanned, but if they have an opportunity to win, an opportunity to make plays, they do that.
Okay, let's go on the clock, because there's always so many things on these Mondays. I want to try and get a few more in. RC, I start with you.
Yeah.
Cowboys head into the playoffs off a big win. Mm-hmm. They now got to face the 49ers. What is your level of confidence for Dallas?
My level of confidence is not high. When you look at the Dallas Cowboys and the team that they're facing, this is probably the most dangerous team in the NFC because of the way the San Francisco 49ers play football. And yeah, you're going to feel good about the Dallas Cowboys because they played against the JV Philadelphia Eagles and threw up 50. But that doesn't mean that carries over into the playoffs. The quarterback is going to get rushed. They're going to be physical up front for the San Francisco 49ers. And the Dallas Cowboys will be neutralized in the sense of the way they play football as opposed to the 49ers. I think it's going to be a very tough game.
Yeah, 49ers are a bad matchup for them. Frankly, they're a bad matchup for everybody.
Yes,
they are. Rex, should Joe Judge be back as the coach of the Giants next season? Go.
Absolutely not. I'd be shocked if he's back. And why he's embarrassed this franchise. This is one of the proudest franchises in the National Football League. And he did something that no other head coach has done. 21 other head coaches have never had 6 consecutive games with double-digit losses in a row. So, to me, and it's not even about that. It's about how you handled yourself in that press conference when you tried to throw other organizations under the bus. I'm sure the mayors and the Tishes they had to see that and were mortified by that.
It was as bad a finish to a season as you've seen a team have in a very long time. Dan, who is the team to beat in the AFC?
Tennessee Titans. Credit where it's due.
Yes.
They have earned that.
Wow.
I'm finally on board. Now, I caveat it with saying those 3 Monstars have to be healthy. Derrick Henry coming back unexpectedly is everything.
Right.
A.J. Brown has to stay healthy. Julio Jones has to stay healthy. If those 3 guys are back healthy for this playoff run, this team has earned the right to be the #1 seed, which they are, and be the team to beat. The way they run the football, their play action game, and the way their front four can get after you.
They rush the passer with 4 people as good as anybody in the league.
And 100%. They will be the only team in the AFC to remind you that gets the bye, so they will get their chance to get healthy. In the meantime, one piece of business left before we finish up here, and that is to get you set for tonight. We got Georgia and Bama, 8 Eastern on ESPN. College football playoff national championship game, pregame coverage all day long, and we'll have you covered every which way tonight. The megacast, TV, radio, digital, so many ways to watch and listen. And that begs the big question, who wins it? Who wins the national championship in this SEC rematch tonight? Ryan Clark, you know the SEC as well as anybody. Yeah. Who you got?
Everything is saying go Georgia, right? Alabama won the first time. Mechie is not playing this game. The Georgia Bulldogs absolutely destroyed the Michigan Wolverines. And for that reason, I'm going with Alabama.
Who did you play for? Who's your coach in college?
Nick Saban, greatest college football coach of all time.
Rex, who you got tonight?
And so you would think for sure I'm going to go Nick Saban and Alabama. I actually said it yesterday, but my NFL contacts tell me that go with Georgia, so I'm going to go with Georgia.
Your NFL contacts say go with the college game?
Yes, they did. They said it because I think this team, they got Alabama's got a couple offensive linemen that are beat up.
Yep.
I think Georgia's going to rush the passer in this one, which they didn't do in the last
They have
the
big defense. Dan, who you like?
I'm going to go with Georgia as well. I do not expect Georgia to play two bad football games against the same opponent. John Mechie not being there for Alabama, I think, is a relatively big deal. I think the physicality of Georgia shows up tonight like it didn't a couple weeks ago in the SEC title game.
I'll take Bama, too, because there's one thing you never do, and that is bet against Nick Saban. Before you guys have to run, Dan, give me the joke.
When do you know a dad joke is a failure?
Okay, hold on one second. We got to come back out to this.
Oh.
When do you know that a dad joke is a failure?
When it's not punny.
All right, now I really regret it. We should have just rolled it. See, Cindy was right and I was wrong. We should have just
rolled it. I gave you last
These guys
week.
Are going across
yeah,
the hall.
Nobody knew
First
that.
First take, top of the
you
hour.
Have to spoil
Brandon
it for
Staley,
everybody?
Did he cost him the game? Can the Steelers make any postseason noise? R.C. Orlovsky and Charlie next on ESPN.
Make it nice.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network, and in part by the Bob's Burgers movie. Don't miss the new trailer during the college football championship game tonight. We are out of time. We'll be on the radio in 60 seconds. First take now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.